You can open your Bible in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And you're going to keep your Bible open. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Local missions, part number one. As you see, church, we're going to go through all the chapter 10 of Matthew, so be ready. It's going to be more than three-part sermon, okay? It's going to be a good journey, a month journey, as we talk about missions. I do need you to see the title. We are not talking about missions. We are talking about local missions, okay? Usually when you hear the word mission, we think about somebody's very far away. That's not the point. It's local missions. We are talking a lot about us, a lot about our church, a lot about our agenda, a lot about our purpose, okay? Local missions, this is the very first part of our sermon. On a series that it's going to take the whole month, we're going to be in this together. Are you there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35? Keep your Bibles open, okay? We are reading only the very first verse here right now. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we're going to talk about local missions, we're going to also talk about the purpose of us as a church, each Christian presented here, and even myself, Lord. Give us grace. Give me grace. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see. Pastor our hearts, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we stopped in Mark last Sunday. Do you remember Jesus went to Nazareth? He was rejected in Nazareth. And what does he do? Does he waste his time in Nazareth? No or no? He doesn't. Jesus is a gentleman. If the door is closed, he doesn't. What is the name? No, there is a name. Breaking. Breaking, yeah. He doesn't break in. He just turns around and he goes find a new doors. That's literally where we stop and where we are reading today. But here, there is a shift of approach because Jesus now he's going to send his disciples to ministry. It is the very first time Jesus sent his disciples all alone. That's why it's mission. It's a mission trip. And why is Jesus doing this? Church, it's simple. Ministry is not theory. Ministry is hands-on. Jesus was just rejected. Jesus is going to send his disciples. Guess what's going to happen to the disciples? They're going to feel some rejection. Can you say amen? They're going to need to debate a little bit. Can you say amen? Jesus is going to put them to work. So with that shifting approach, we're going to have a lot of lessons we can learn for us today. How can we be a church that it's a missional church? So the first point of this sermon, and this was what we just read, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, is the summary. Wow, a lot of information there. The summary of our first point, church, Jesus is giving us the model. Jesus is also giving us the agenda of the church. If you pay attention to verse 35, Jesus preaches, Jesus heals, Jesus goes everywhere to preach the gospel. Very quick with me, Jesus preaches. Okay, with me. Jesus preaches. Jesus heals. Jesus go everywhere. Okay, this is the agenda of the church. We need to be very mindful here, church. We have no right to change this agenda. Please say amen. We have no right. I want to be a great preacher, but I don't want to pray for people to get healed because it's a little bit too controversial. I don't have that right. My only right is to follow the agenda. I want to preach the gospel. I want to pray for healings, but I want to be comfortable in my seat. I don't want to go outside to preach the gospel. I don't have the right to do that. A good spot for amen. If we change the agenda, we better change the name. We can't be called a church if we change the agenda. I'll say this again. If I refuse to follow the agenda, if I refuse to follow the model, I cannot be called a church. If I put the label church, I need to follow the agenda. Okay? So, with that being said, understanding the agenda, understanding our motto, this is simple. Three things, church. Preaching the Word of God. Commitment to the Word of God. And here, it's very quick, the pitfalls we need to avoid. Okay? We do need to avoid the pitfall of putting man in the center of the Bible. It's all about men. Look how amazing you are. And because you are amazing, I go to the Bible as a pastor and I find things that is going to suit you. How can you be blessed? How can you have a wonderful family? How can your retirement be amazing? How you can be very comfortable coming to church on a Sunday, do some volunteering, and life is good. Does the Bible have blessings for us? Yes, it does. Is that the goal of the gospel? No, it's not. Man should never be in the center of the gospel. The sermon, it is Christ-centered, not man-centered. So we need to avoid those pitfalls that sometimes we see it happening. It's simple, church. When you look at Jesus, when you look to John the Baptist, when you look to the disciples, their message was labeled in one sentence, repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come to you. It's completely the opposite of putting man in the center. It's the opposite. Men submit to the message. Men turn away to the message. Men bow down and worship Jesus and become his disciple. That's the message. So the first characteristic of a church, it is this commitment with the Word of God. The second one, it is the healing. Church, avoiding all extremes about healing, all controversy, all the opinions, avoiding all of that. I believe we have been talking about healing quite a lot. Do you remember there is five signs for miracles? Do you remember that? Immediate, must be tested. It's beyond medicine. It is public. It is not premeditated. You know the signs of a miracle, of a biblical miracle. You already know that. So, just avoiding the controversial and extremes, what are the extremes? People who believe God has lost his power. God is no more God. God is less of a God. He can't do miracles now. Avoiding that extreme. Avoiding the other extreme. If you have a headache, you don't take Tylenol. You think the prayer became your Tylenol. Remember those extremes? You can't sneeze. You can't have a back pain. You can't have a bad day because you're a Christian. Everything should be good. Avoiding these extremes, what is simply we can do as a church, it is pray for the well-being of one another. The church promotes blessing. People who come to these doors, they are looking for answers. They are looking for hope. The church is a speaker of blessings. Speaker of lives. That's simply what we do. And I think sometimes because of the controversy, we are very shy about it. Because of the controversy, I don't have a call, Pastor, come here. I need a prayer. Because we are a little bit shy about it. Me, I see somebody suffering, and instead of praying for them and speaking blessing for them, I'm a little bit shy. Because it's a little bit controversial. I don't know. I'm not comfortable. Avoiding all the extremes. Not trying to play God. Just playing church and doing what He does. We are ministers of blessing, church. We need to create the habit and be very comfortable to pray blessings over people. That's the second item of the agenda. And the third item, it is we go to them, not them come to us. Church, if we wait the world to come to the church, we're going to have empty seats. Do you know that? Yes or yes? They don't know. They are blind resistance. They think the answer is reason. They think the answer it is science. They think the answer is money. And those are not the answer. Jesus is the answer. We all know that. And we need to tell them. We need to connect to them. We need to do a better job in that one as well. I want to illustrate this agenda with one very famous city, Geneva. Geneva, 400, 500 years ago, experienced a great revival. And that revival was not just in the church. That revival touched the whole city. Hospitals. Education. You see, commitment with the Word of God, yes. Proclaiming healing, blessing. If our nation, our city needs a hospital, the Christians are the ones hands-on building it. Advocating for it. And we are going to the world. There is a university, University of Geneva, started with the heart of Christians. We want to come to the scholars. We want to come to the science. We want to tell them they need Jesus. The answer is in the church. The answer is in the Bible, not outside of the Bible. Geneva followed these three items of the agenda, and we saw a great revival. And that's what I'm telling us. We need to follow these items. We need to trust in the man, Jesus Christ, who gave us the agenda. As a matter of fact, it's there. A disciple is not above the master. It is enough to look up to the master. This we're going to see only later. This is Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, verse 25. As Jesus gave the agenda, as Jesus gives the mission, Jesus tells his disciples, "You're as my disciple, your greatest desire is to look up to me. Your greatest desire is to become like me. Your greatest desire, it is to follow the agenda." And we as a church, we need to do that. Amen. As Jesus as our model, with the agenda in mind, and we can't compromise to the agenda. Second point of this sermon is the mission. And you're going to see there are compassion and two illustrations. And this is verse 36 to verse 38. Verse 36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord for the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Church, why does Jesus do what he does? Why does Jesus send his disciples? Why does Jesus amplify his ministry through his disciples? It's simple, compassion. Church, look at the compassion of Jesus. These two illustrations, sheep without a shepherd. The emphasis, church, is not on the sheep. The emphasis is on the shepherd. If there is no shepherd, the sheep is lost. The world without Jesus, it is lost. Therefore, God has compassion. He wants to be the shepherd of them. Second illustration, the labors, the harvest without labors. The work is too much. Yes, it is. The work is hard. Yes, it is. Not easy. But the main problem is not the amount of work. The main problem is the lack of workers. Hence, that's why Christ says, pray for God to send workers. Ask God and God will send workers. Now, I do need you to understand this, church. Do you realize you are the answer of that prayer? Don't answer too quick. Don't. Think. Do you realize you and I, we are the answer for that prayer? Keep in mind, you can only do the work if you're called by God. That's what he's saying. Ask God and God will send workers. God will not hire someone to do the job. God will not ask a politician to do the job. His church will do the job. Only people who are called. So, the word calling. One person may think, okay, I'm not a pastor, therefore I wasn't called, therefore I don't need to do the job. This is wrong. Every Christian, they are called to do the work. Every Christian were equipped to do the work. Again, I ask you, do you realize that you are the answer of the prayer? Do you realize that you are the answer of the parable? God is sending his workers to do the job. Do you realize that? Because this is the mystery of this parable, church. As you do the work, as you tell people about Jesus, and people believe, those who believe automatically become workers. those who believe automatically are called to preach Christ. Therefore, you are the answer for that prayer in a two-folded way. One, you are already called to do the job. Secondly, as you preach and more people believe, you have got more workers. Again, the question, do you realize you're the answer of that prayer? Do you feel you are a missionary? Do you have that responsibility in your heart? There is one constant prayer I ask forgiveness to God. It is not about something I do. It is of what I don't do. When I go 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month without telling people about Christ, I automatically, I feel the responsibility to pray and say, God, it's been a month that I haven't had a hard conversation with someone. It's been a month that I haven't told somebody, you need Jesus. Because I'm answer for this prayer. What I love about God, He's not mystical. He's not too much of a government job, you know. We have a meeting, and then we have another meeting, and then we have another meeting. 10 years later, you have nothing done. God is very practical. Ask for God to send workers. Good, I'm seeing a bunch of them. Easy peasy, practical, straightforward. God is a practical God. Church, this is a very, pay attention. Let us think about us to make our understanding easy. Lack of a shepherd, lack of workers. Can you imagine a church without a shepherd, a church without leadership, a church without workers? Can you imagine if that were to happen? Now, think about the world. Not the great shepherd. They don't know about Jesus. And we don't go. No workers. Can you see the picture? Can you see the desperation? It is compassion and it is also desperation, church, because comes the third point right now of this sermon, which is the charge. Because the world is in such a desperate need, God gives us this mission. God gives us the charge. And I don't know how to illustrate the charge. But for those of you who don't know, once we finish college, seminary to become a pastor, they call us and they give us the charge. They remind us of what it's our job. They remind us the purpose. They remind us what we should not do. They remind us we should not be an embarrassment for Christ, an embarrassment for the church. And once we have answered those questions, they give us the charge. Okay, now go and do the job. That's literally what God, Jesus, is doing here. He modeled. He shows compassion. He shows desperation. And he's telling, this is the job that needs to be done. And now he gives the charge to his disciples. This is chapter 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 You already know the name. We already had a sermon about the people Jesus have called. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. And this is what we're going to see next sermon. But now we just stop here with the charge. Jesus called them. Jesus gives them authority. Jesus sends them. Jesus gives them the charge. Church, my best illustration to tell you what is the charge, it is to think about a baby. We have a baby in the house. Think about the baby. But it's not your baby. It's someone else's baby. And that someone else gives you the baby and say, take care of the baby. 1 month from now, I'm coming back and I want my baby. Can you? Where are the mothers in the house? Can you feel the weight of responsibility? You're going to take care of the baby like no one else? That's the best illustration I can give you of the charge. Jesus literally is giving a world that it's desperate, that needs to hear the gospel, that needs the church to be the answer. Not the barrier, not the clan, but the bridge, connected, the answer, salt and light. And he puts on our lap. That's the illustration of the charge. And it may help you, church. It may help me to understand this is a privilege. I know every time we talk about missions, the atmosphere changes. Because we realize how little we are doing. Every time. I know. But it may help us to see this as a privilege. Not as a burden, not as a task, not even as a work, but seeing these as a privilege. Only saved people can preach the gospel. Only saved people have this message. Only indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you can be saved and you can tell others there is salvation in Jesus. So when we see this as a privilege, it really encourages us. When I preach, I'm not alone. Christ is with me. I preach to your ears. Christ is preaching to your heart. When I say a simple Jesus loves you to someone, Christ is with me. I say Jesus loves you to their ears. Christ is speaking that to their hearts. When I minister blessings, I touch their heads, but Christ touches their hearts. So if we see this as a privilege, as a mission, we have great chances to do a better job. It's a mind changing. It's something needs to change here. And I think that's the conclusion of today. This is Foundation Church. And as the foundation of this sermon and this series of missions, is the most important thing you need to understand. If we lay the wrong foundations, if we don't understand the responsibility, if you think this is about somebody else, this is not about me, we lost everything. This became just a good speech, not reality. Not, you know, that change that we need to have. So with that in mind, we do need to go from a consumer to a member's perspective. Consumer is everywhere, church. It's everywhere. We look to our government, instead of thinking of being good citizens, we are looking to our government, we are thinking, government, how can you help me? We look to our employer, and instead of thinking, how can I be a better employee, I'm going on strikes. because I want a better pay, because I want blah, blah, blah. This is consumer mindset. God doesn't like that. Can you say amen? God doesn't like that. God is the Lord, the King. It's not a business that you consume out of Him. So what does that mean to us as a church? I have a question for you. And again, don't answer too quick. When you think about the members of this church, what is the first thing that comes up to your mind? The people that you are seeing here right now, or the people who you are not seeing here right now? Who do you call members of this church? The first or the latter? Most probably, when we talk about the members of this church, we talk about only the ones who are present here right now. But it's very helpful if we change our perspective from consumer to members, we're going to start to think about the empty seats. We're going to start to see them as members. They just don't know yet because we didn't tell them they need Jesus. That question changes our mind because we come to the service not thinking about how can I be pleased. We come to this service thinking, how can I be a servant? How can I contribute to do the job we need to do? The idea of membership in the Bible church is very different from the idea of membership we have in Canada. What is a member in Canada? You pay a fee and you consume the product. You go to Good Life Fitness, you pay a monthly fee, you go to the gym. The idea of membership in the church is the body of Christ. When the Bible talks about members, the Bible talks about the body as an illustration. And mind you, church, look at how servanthood this looks like. Look like the opposite of consuming this looks like. Are you ready? Are you ready? When I trip and fall, my hands gonna go automatically in front of me. My hands will hurt. My hands may break. My hands may bruise. But it doesn't matter, because the goal is to protect the body. It's not self-seeking. It's a servant. It is a member protecting the vital aspects of the body. We need that change from consumer to membership, godly, biblical membership, so that we do church life not thinking just about us, but thinking also about them. Because this is our agenda. Don't say amen. Just let that sink in. And with that, what I can do for you as a pastor, I know I'm the youngest. I know. And because I'm the youngest, I'm always wrong, right? I know that. But my commitment to you, church, it is always to love you well, always to tell you the truth in love. And my commitment to you is I should have a heart of a teacher. That's what Jesus does. He's sending the disciples. Okay? When you look to our nation, when you look to the world, they have bad parenting. What is bad parenting, church? I just feed, I just give a shelter to my children, and my children do whatever they want. The kids start one university and they give up in the first semester and they go to another university and they change subjects and they are 50 years old and they don't have a job. But my kids can do whatever they want. That's bad parenting. What is good parenting, church? It is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Start children off in the way they should go. Jesus doesn't want his church and me as a pastor, my commitment to you with the heart of a teacher. It's not to let us do whatever we want. My commitment to you, it is that to bring us back to the agenda and the agenda. And how can we do the agenda? And how can we improve and create this culture and create this mindset and keeping us with the mission of the church? That's my commitment to you as a pastor. And your commitment to me, it is, how can I serve? What do we need to do to fulfill the mission?